Welcome to episode 44 of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast. In this episode, we will do a quick roundup of Mid-Ohio, seeing that it's been a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
Go over the point standings.
Yep.
And then after that, it is everything, news, rumors, silly season, TV contract, video games. We talk about it all.
Yeah. As you listen, silly season is really kind of starting now.
Yes.
So, a lot of interesting stuff, and it's looking like we'll get a decent shakeup in driver lineups next year.
It's going to be rather interesting, so stay tuned for all the news. Once again, we appreciate you tuning in. You're listening to episode 44. Here you go. And here we go with episode 44 of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast with your host, Chris and Ryan.
As always.
And it's been a minute.
Yeah, we're back.
We kind of decided to take a couple weeks off since the series. Mm-hmm. We'll take a couple weeks off and let things stew.
Yeah, kind of play out, which I think we made the right decision because there is a lot of stuff to talk about.
What we're going to start off, obviously, it's been a couple weeks, so there's no need to kind of really go in great detail about it, but we are going to rehash Mid-Ohio.
Yep, just a little bit.
Really, the race was kind of a yawner.
Wasn't the most entertaining race of the year, but, you know, that's what happens when story of the day, obviously, Joseph Newgarden winning, leading 73 of the 80 laps ran during the race.
Yeah, he stumped the show up.
And it was, you know, we were bound for this to happen at some point. You know, he had been so close to winning a few times. We were destined for a Joseph Newgarden dominated day.
Yes, we were. And, you know, I think they made it sound pretty interesting on TV, like with Erickson catching him at the end.
Yep, Erickson had a good run.
J-News tires going off and, you know, here comes Erickson. Can he close the gap? And, you know, you just kind of knew that really wasn't going to happen. I mean, Newgarden had like 10 times the amount of
push to pass
than anybody else.
Props to Erickson because I think it was a pretty big gap. I don't remember the exact gap, but I think it was north of 8 seconds maybe, and it ended up under a second. I think about 9/10. So. Good run for Marcus.
Yeah, he's
kind of proven his worth.
He's a stud, man. He's a stud. So you got J. New, then Erickson finishing third, continuing.
Consistent.
He's doing what he's got to do, was Alex Palou. And, of course, he finished ahead of Dixon.
And Pato. Fourth.
Right. And then coming in fifth, which his best finish.
There we go.
That's hard for me to say. With his best finish of the year, which is unbelievably just crazy that we're saying that.
Yeah.
Is Alexander Rossi.
Yeah. A day where nothing crazy happened for him and started sixth, ended fifth. And it is weird we are saying that fifth place is his best finish of the year, but here we are.
Sixth place coming home at his home track, Grand Rahal. Another strong showing for Romain Grosjean.
Started 18th and finished 7th.
Pato, I mean, he finished 8th, so it's a solid day.
Yeah, he had a really bad qualifying. He started 20th.
That was after, like, being the fastest in
practice.
Yeah,
he was. Him and Joseph were the two fastest guys in practice, in each practice, and then he just went out and qualifying and laid a stinker.
Yeah, something happened there. But
so I think if he qualifies better, he probably has a good shot of winning that race.
But coming home in eighth compared to Palou in third, so not a good day.
Not a good points day for Pato.
Not a good day for Pato. Coming home ninth once again. In his little
top 10 machine,
his little super sub, you know, driver test, whatever you want to call it, Santino Ferrucci. And he beats his teammate, Takuma Sato, who brought it home 10th.
Yeah, good day for Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan, having a 6th, a 9th, and a 10th.
Yep, so it looked from TV, we didn't go this year, we went last year, we went 3 years ago.
Yeah.
or did we go? Do we take? We took a year off, right? Yeah. So we've been there twice. But they had outstanding weather. It looked like
Good weather, good crowd was out there.
I mean, the crowd was just massive. So really good to see.
For sure.
So leaving Mid-Ohio, you want to talk about the points?
Yeah, and we're kind of getting down to the point where we're really just kind of talking about the top five guys and maybe not even top five at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in fifth, 104 points back is Marcus Ericsson.
He would almost have to win every race from here on out.
So you really kind of want to write him off, but...
You know, crazy stuff can happen.
I've been wanting to write Pillow off all year, and it don't happen. So Erickson's having a solid year, man.
Yeah,
solid year. So
really
he's
proving his worth.
He is fifth in points, 104 back. Coming home in fourth in points. Now, this is more manageable here.
Yeah.
69 points back is Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, he did what he had to do at Mid-Ohio.
And it would not shock me at all to see him just go on a run here and chop that points lead down.
Yeah, for sure.
That could very easily happen.
So, he's very capable of going on a run.
And then coming in third,
another guy that is very capable of going on a run.
56 points back is the Iceman, Scott Dixon. So, you know, I mean, you don't really got to say much about that with Scott Dixon.
No,
he's
not
more
at
than
all.
Capable of. Of pulling this off. In second place in the points is Pato O'Ward, who is 39 points back.
Yep, number one threat right now.
If he had had a better race at Mid-Ohio, obviously he'd be a little bit closer, but another outstanding year, like a breakthrough year for Pato.
Yeah, really solid.
And then, you know, still maintaining that points lead, Alex Pillow, you know, with he's got 384 points.
He's been racking them up.
So, those are that's your top five. That's really, in my opinion, that's really the only people that have a chance.
Yeah, the other guys are just kind of too far out. I mean, in sixth, Pagano's in sixth, but he's had another nine to Ericsson, so he's 113 out.
Right.
And then from there, there's a pretty big drop-off in points. So, you know, even Erickson's pushing it, but I think these five guys will have a shot at the title at the end of the year. And you never know, because all of these guys are super talented. You know, you have the two, you know, guys who have proven themselves with Jay New and obviously Dixon. Then you got the two youngsters up front, and then Ericsson just kind of tagging along. So,
So, you know, with Toronto getting canceled, and then the Olympics, you know, they take the break for the Olympics. We've got quite a big break.
Yeah, still have a little bit till we get to the next race, August 8th.
A couple more weeks, August 8th at Nashville.
Wish
we were going, because it looks like it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're not going. We're skipping this one. We're going to go to Gateway.
That we are.
We're going to the Gateway race. We got tickets. So if you're going to Gateway and you're sitting like at the end of the straight going into turn one, I think we're in row 50. We're in the top row.
Yeah, we'll be standing the whole race.
Up there, you know, so say hello to us. But August 8th in Nashville should be pretty cool because it's kind of an equalizer because nobody has run on that track.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll be really interesting to see how Grosjean runs.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of on equal footing.
For the first time this year.
With these guys.
Yeah.
Because nobody's run that track.
So, you never know. He might come out, win the pole, dominate the race. Never know.
We'll see how that goes. But August 8th in Nashville should be entertaining. They go across the bridge a couple times. I think they go across and then come back.
For whatever reason, I have a feeling this might be a Jay New weekend. I don't know if it's because it's his now home track or I don't know. I just have a feeling he's going to go on a run.
Jay New could have been a Jay New weekend three weekends in a row.
I know.
And it just didn't turn out that way. And could have been Will Power, you know, for that first race of Detroit.
Yeah, for sure.
So, So we'll see. Looking forward to it August 8th. Tune into that. And I think we're going to take our first break. And we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk all things news. We're going to talk about...
lots of silly season talk.
Silly season stuff. We're going to talk about the new TV deal.
Yep.
That's out there. Just everything. So
yeah.
Stay tuned for that. You're listening to Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast. We'll be right back.
And here we go back with Around the Outside, talking about starting off with the new multi-year extension TV deal with NBC.
Very happy. I personally am very happy that it stayed with NBC.
As am I.
I did not want it to go back to ABC. And ESPN.
And the other rumor was CBS.
We are ginormous Disney fans. And Disney owns just about everything. To include ABC
and ESPN.
However, I did not want to see it go back there. I just never thought that they gave them the love that they should have. And I thought NBC has done an outstanding job. I truly believe that Lee Diffie and Townsend Bell and the Thrill from West Hill, Paul Tracy, are absolutely the best in the business.
I agree.
And I know there's a lot of Paul Tracy haters out there. Sorry about you.
But we are Paul Tracy lovers.
Paul Tracy is a dude, man. That guy is, he was a hell of a race car driver, and he's great in the booth. And the biggest thing I like about Paul is he don't give a shit what you say. What you say about him, what you say about him on social media, he doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care. So I, for one, am glad that they're back with NBC.
Yeah, and it's actually a really, at least for next season, we'll see what the next couple years, because it is a multi-year extension.
Yep.
So we'll see. But next year, I really think they got a really good deal.
They got 13 races on the big boy channel.
Yeah.
The big boy NBC.
13 races on NBC. The rest, because NBCSN is going away. So the rest will go to affiliate network, USA Network.
Isn't that what Raw is on?
That is what Raw is on, so that's how we know it.
So, right. So they can, man, what a perfect platform to advertise during Raw.
Well, yeah.
Advertise the series during Raw.
For sure.
I mean, and pull in a whole new, I mean, it'd be
WWE
awesome.
Raw for those of you that don't know what we're talking about.
Will Power in like a celebrity cage match or something.
Oh, he'd do it.
Up against, you know, whoever.
That'd be awesome.
You know,
let him team with John Cena.
The Toowoomba Tasmanian Devil just go at it.
Right. So. But 13 races on NBC. Like I said, the rest on USA Network. Now, the only, I don't really want to say downside to it, because I really don't see it as a negative, is two races will be exclusively streamed on Peacock, which I will say the ratings for those two races probably won't be very good compared to other races throughout the year, but it's kind of an incentive to get Peacock, and really it's worth it, to be honest with you, and to know every other race, so we don't have any more issues with, you know, races going over and interrupting other things. Every race will be streamed on Peacock, no matter what.
Every race is on Peacock, which that's been our biggest gripe this year.
Yeah,
is like, man, I wish the race was on Peacock because it's commercial free.
Yeah,
you know, it's so, to be honest with you, I don't know how most households will be. But our household will probably be watching the race on Peacock.
Yeah, I mean, I love Peacock.
We'll see how it goes. But, I just listened to Kevin and Kevin. They made a good point about, you know, the ratings. I think it was Kurt Cavan said this. The ratings, being that we have 13 races on NBC, Boy Channel,
yeah,
the ratings are going to be a lot more than what they were even this year. This year's like a 30% jump, right?
1,000%.
So even having those two races on Peacock only,
the overall ratings are still going to go up.
The other races will more than make up for that.
It'll be insane. So
we still get every practice session, every qualifying session. Now they're picking up,
I think, all of Indy Lights.
All of Indy Lights stuff.
I want to say, they might be picking up some of the other Road to Indy stuff. Yeah, I could be wrong.
But they're also broadcasting, like, the first race of the year, the Indy 500, and the last race, something like there's certain races are going to broadcast on Telemundo,
yep,
for our Spanish speaking friends.
Yes.
So it's going to be the deal. They couldn't have got a better deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good for the sport. It's really kind of proving that the sport is on the up, and especially getting into next year. I think IndyCar is on a really good track here to become a big thing in America again.
And it's going to eventually get to where all this stuff is going to be on a streaming platform.
Eventually.
All of it is, right? I mean, NFL's got Thursday night games that are
on Amazon. Right. That's been on Amazon Prime for a while.
Solely on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime. You got to have Amazon Prime to watch them. It's all moving to that. Mm-hmm. IndyCar is just putting out two of them next year, kind of dipping their toes in the water.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see which two races those are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'd probably put your two least rated
probably
races on there.
Probably.
And we'll see how it goes. So that's the TV schedule. TV schedule is really good.
Yeah, really good.
Really happy with the TV schedule. So compliments to Roger Penske, Mark Miles, everybody over at Penske Entertainment.
Yes, very happy with the way IndyCar is kind of being led into the future here.
And that's awesome. So I think the next thing we need to talk about before silly season.
All
right. It's probably, in a lot of people's minds, the most important news that has come out in a long time.
Okay.
And that is the announcement that they're...
Oh, yeah!
Finally.
I forgot.
Once again, be an IndyCar video game.
I just want to put it out there that I think I am the reason this happened. All right, so I kind of thought of it into existence. I had been browsing for a new racing wheel for quite a while now, because I had been rocking with a Thrustmaster, just the base Ferrari with no force feedback, no nothing.
Right.
Finally broke down and bought the next version of, or the kind of the basic version of the Thrustmaster with force feedback, and I highly recommend it if you're trying to get into not necessarily sim racing, but if you enjoy racing games and stuff like Project Cars 2 or anything like that. But the day after I buy that wheel, this gets announced.
That's awesome. Now, let's hope they do it right.
From what I've seen, the people that are making it are pretty good.
Let's hope they do it right. Let's hope they have all the up-to-date cars, all the up-to-date liveries, the up-to-date drivers.
Oh, that's
all obvious. The up-to-date teams. But let's include in that retro drivers, retro teams, retro cars, retro paint liveries. it would be awesome if you could, get on there and, get Rick Mears.
That'd be cool.
And race with Rick Mears in, his 1984 Indianapolis 500 winning car. I mean, just stuff like that.
It'd be cool.
Let's hope it has a career mode.
Right. The two things I really want from it is I just want them to not
try to swing for the fences too much to where the whole game as a whole is not very good. I want them to focus on the gameplay, graphics, and have a good career mode. I want them to get the basics down first because it's a multi-year deal as well. So,
yeah. But
then we can build on that.
You know, you want it to be pretty spectacular out the box.
Well, because
you want people to talk about it and then cause other people to go buy it, which in turn shows the company that there's a want for it.
Which will actually have a good idea of what the game might look like because the same company is making the new NASCAR game.
Wow.
Which I've seen pictures of that are out, and it looks really good, just visually. So hopefully it's good.
Yeah. So IndyCar game coming, TV deal signed, pretty spectacular news all in all. And now we are on to silly season.
Lots of news been coming out.
And we're going to let you take the lead on this.
Yep. So we'll start with Andretti. Right. So Michael Andretti has already confirmed Herta and Rossi have multi-year deals, so they're tied to the team for a few years now. But he came out in that same statement saying the 28 and 29 car, you're probably going to see some changes. Well, according to Marshall Pruitt, and a lot of this, actually all of it is according to Marshall Pruitt, it's almost confirmed that Grosjean will be driving the number 28 Honda for Andretti Autosport next year. So that's big news. You know, we had been speculating where he's going to end up, and Penske, Andretti, McLaren's been mentioned.
Well, that would definitely mean that he's running Indy.
Oh, full time. He'll be full time. You know, it's starting with Gateway here, and when they go to Gateway,
we get to see him.
And then for the 29 car, it looks like so that means Hunter Ray's out. And same with the 29 car, Hinch is probably going to be out. The first name and the most likely name, according to Marshall, is Devlin DeFrancesco from the Indy Lights program in Andretti. The other name linked to that car is Kyle Kirkwood, who is the current championship leader at Indy Lights.
Yeah.
You got nothing to say?
Well, I mean, no, not really. I mean, either one of those guys, I mean, if Kirkwood wins the championship and he gets the scholarship money,
yeah,
but he doesn't get that ride, then that would tell me that the other guy is obviously bringing a whole bunch of cash with him.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather see Kirkland get it, Kirkwood. I'd rather see him get it, especially if he's the winner of the championship and he gets the scholarship. But
so,
I mean, Grosjean will
he'll probably excel.
Will excel there, but what you were telling me about, not only is he going to be going to Andretti, but he's going to be becoming a factory driver.
Yeah, he's going to become a factory. So the Honda, Acura, HPD family. So people like Scott Dixon, Alexander Rossi, and Colton Herta, who are paid.
Yeah,
basically, a lot of their contract is paid by Honda themselves to be a Honda driver. So,
and like it said in the article, how spectacular is this for a guy who undoubtedly deserves it, but for a guy that got saddled driving the worst car on the F1 grid for the worst team in F1, and then, you know, goes through what he went through with the crash and the fire, ends up coming over here and is just kicking ass and taking names, and it's going to pay off because he's going to, more than likely, none of this is confirmed.
Not confirmed.
More than likely, he's going to end up with Andretti, which is one of the best teams in the business.
Yeah.
And then he's also going to be a factory Honda Acura driver, which is going to open up. And I think the article also said that he would be involved.
He'll be able to run some IMSA stuff.
In their IMSA stuff.
So that would be, I know one of the Acura DPIs is Wayne Taylor Racing right now. That's who Rossi runs with. I think maybe Shanks definitely HPD Acura. So, you know, there'll be a couple options over there.
Yeah, so that's going to be awesome, man. Awesome for Roman.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what pans out.
Moving on to Penske. This is kind of a weird one. I'll mix this with Meyer Shank Racing. Not weird, but you got three confirmed guys with Newgarden, Power, and Scott McLaughlin.
Yep.
Well, according to the article, the fourth car of Simon Pagenaud, he actually wants a change of scenery.
Maybe.
That's what the article said. So, if that's the case, it also said that, you know, because I had talked about McLaren probably being an option because Simon's a big McLaren fan. That's who he ran for. Well, apparently they're not an option, and McLaren wouldn't want to pursue that.
According to the article, apparently there is not a lot of options.
There is no. After for McLaren, Simon. Any of the other big teams like Andretti was thrown out there, Ganassi, Ray Hall, none of them are wanting them.
So that leads us into who, if Pagenaud leaves, who takes that fourth seat?
If any. I mean, I think there's the article mentioned a few options. You know, the one is for Penske. Is they just sign another one-year deal with Pagenaud and wait for someone else to come along? Maybe they steal away Grosjean, or maybe they change up what they've always done and they sign a young driver.
Yeah, because the article did say that Kyle Kirkwood has been linked to Penske.
Yeah, it's been rumored that they've reached out to him.
Which is kind of shocking. Or it also said, they could just go back to three cars.
Yeah, for the year.
The year, and then bring the fourth one back next year.
Yeah.
When they can take a shot at Rossi or...
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know who else is... Herta, maybe. Who else is a free agent next year?
I don't know if Herta's a free agent.
So that's going to be interesting. And then that kind of plays in, like you said, to Meyer Shank, because the other bombshell news of the week was that Jack Harvey's leaving.
Yeah.
And it was really funny, man, because I got on there and I was reading on Twitter. And the article itself, like, I don't think people read. I think they just they read the clickbait title. And then they get on Twitter and they talk a bunch of shit. And they have no freaking clue what they're talking about. Because there were so many people that got on there and were bashing Shank,
for
firing Jack Harvey,
which is the complete opposite of what happened.
If you'd have read the damn story, you'd have figured out that that's not what happened. Harvey left on his own.
Mm-hmm.
That matter of fact, Meyer Shank just figured that they had a deal and they were getting ready to sign it, and then all of a sudden, boom, Jack Harvey goes, "You know what? I'm leaving."
Yeah.
But people got on there and were bashing O'Shank because, it's just... So, read, people.
So, the 60 car is now available after Jack Harvey decides to leave Meyer Shank Racing, which we'll talk about where he may end up here in a little bit. And they also confirmed Elio Castroneves full-time in the 06 car for next year, which is what we would have guessed. So, very happy to see that. We'll get Ganassi out of the way here. They're going to be the exact same, what it seems like. The only maybe someone is out could be Erickson, but it sounds like both sides want to make something happen. So
yeah,
I would be very shocked if Erickson's gone.
To see that. He's got a win. He's got a second place.
Yeah, I would be shocked.
He's fifth in the points.
I would be shocked.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but stranger things have happened.
Very true. On to Ray Hall. Lots of changes coming for Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan here.
Lots of changes.
It's rumored that they're not going to re-sign Takuma. So Takuma's looking like he might be out. And I haven't seen his name linked with any other team, so...
Gonzo.
Yeah, and replacing Takuma in the 30 car is rumored to be Jack Harvey.
Jack Harvey. I think that's I think that's a done deal.
Yeah, that's probably, sure, a done deal. I don't know.
Harvey's not going to tell Shank he's leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's got something else lined up.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not going to leave a for sure thing.
For sure.
Unless he's got something lined up. And he's got to think that it's a better deal. For him, and maybe it is, but
Who knows?
I mean, I would run for Shank any day of the week. So.
Yeah, for, well, going back to Shank, that kind of leaves a 60 car open, obviously. And so, is that a Pagano seat? Is that a young driver seat, like a guy like Askew or even a guy like Kyle Kirkwood?
Well, you, when you said that to me, I said, you know, my response to you was, that just makes too much sense.
It does make sense.
To put Pagano in the 60 car and team him with Elio, and they've already been partners, teammates. They've gone through that. They already work well together.
Well, and if they keep their technical alliance, you still have Andretti powered cars, basically. So I mean, that's a pretty solid team.
He's an experienced, technically savvy
series champ, Indy 500 champ,
race car driver. So he gives good feedback. It's not like you'd be taking a rookie and trying to bring him along, and,
right?
And, you know, I personally think, after listening to you say it and then thinking about it for about 10 seconds, I think that's the best option for Meyer Shank to go with.
It probably is, and you know, unless they really are kind of set on taking a youngster and just kind of bringing him up, kind of like they did with Jack. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, for sure. But getting back to Ray Hall, it's been rumored for a long time they want a third full-time car in IndyCar. Obviously, Ferrucci's been running that car this year, but another name that's been linked to that car who might show up in it later this year is Oliver Askew.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, obviously, I think it's going to depend on funding and, you know, does Hy-Vee come in there and fund that race car?
Yeah,
you know,
for
full
sure.
Time? And, they're definitely talking like it's a probability that it's going to happen. But they've said that before, and then it kind of doesn't pan out. So
right.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it could be interesting times going on at Ray Hall. They got the new shop they're building over here in Zionsville.
Yep.
You know. It could be a whole new team, you know, minus Graham. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see.
Before we move on to the next one, we need to take a quick break.
Yep.
And then we'll come right back and we'll finish this episode up, wrapping up silly season. Stay with us. And welcome back to segment 3, in the final segment for this episode for Around the Outside. And while we were gone, pretty interesting, we just got done talking about silly season, and you check your phone and get on Twitter, and lo and behold, there's a tweet from Oliver Askew, who just got done testing at Barber with Ray Hall, Letterman,
yeah,
Lanning,
so
and Racing.
Just kind of adding fuel to the fire to that rumor.
So there you go. So moving on, who we got?
We'll go to Coin next. There was news about Vassar Sullivan maybe leaving.
Yeah, I read that.
But they're eyeing that for 2023, maybe, to be on their own. So.
And old Sully didn't give old Ed Jones a rounding standing ovation.
Well, I actually have, from the Marshall Pruitt article, out of all the drivers of the 18 car for Dale Coyne Racing ever, this is by far the worst points performance that has ever been delivered in that car.
Oh, really?
Yes. It has not been good. So, expect Coyne to be a very, completely different team next year. They'll do what they did this year and completely change their driver lineup.
Well, it's not necessarily Coyne. That's Vassar Sullivan.
Well, it's the Coyne, Vassar Sullivan,
right,
and Jones.
They may leave Coyne in the story I read.
Well, the story I just read today said that they're eyeing 2023 and not 2022.
To leave Coyne?
Yes. To be on their own.
Right, to be on their own. But the article that I said they may have a new alliance.
Oh, well.
Lined up with somebody else.
You never know.
So.
We'll see.
We'll see how that works out.
But expect different drivers for Coyne regardless, including their partnership with Rick Ware Racing. On to McLaren, not much will be different with Pato and Felix. They're wanting to add a third car, is what the rumor is, which we've known for a while. But they want it to be a young talent. They don't want an older guy. They want it to be a young talent. And it's just going to depend if they see a guy if they think is talented enough to take that seat.
Yep. And probably can bring some money.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
Even though it's McLaren.
Right. Ed Carpenter Racing. So we got the news a while back that Penske was eyeing VK, but that won't be the case because he has signed a multi-year deal with them, which actually he signed that at the start of the year. So he'll be with Carpenter for a little bit. Ed still wants to run the ovals, so that's going to leave the 20 car open for the road and street courses. Should be Connor.
It did say, though, that if somebody can find the budget for a full season, he would run that car full time, and then he would add a third for himself at the
oval. Yeah, so which hopefully the Air Force can help out with that, and old Connor Daly stays in
Connor that car. Connor needs to come on with it, man. Come on. That's, you know you're a guy, man. But even the article was like, it's time for Connor to shine a little bit here. I mean,
yeah.
I think he's 18th in points or something like that.
Yeah, it hadn't been the best of years for Connor.
So, I mean, we know our dude can drive a race car. He proved that at Indy. Let's go. Come on.
All righty. On to Carlin. On to Carlin. Really going to be no changes here as of right now is what it's looking like. Chilton's still going to be road courses and the Indy 500, so that's going to leave a guy to run the ovals for them. No name yet. They would still like to run a second car full-time, but the guy has to bring the budget. So we'll see what happens with that.
The only track he's got to really be concerned about driving is Texas. Because Gateway's not terribly.
No.
You know what I mean? So yeah. It's got to be Texas. I mean, that's the only ovals they run.
Lastly, we have Foyt, which it's, I would assume Bourdais is going to be back with him. That's not even, you know, confirmed or,
right.
You know.
If they don't bring Bourdais back, they're done.
But, you know, so the second car is going to be open. They had that Tatiana Calderon test for him at Mid-Ohio. It seems like it went well.
Unless Sebastian don't want to come back.
Well, I wouldn't blame him for if he could. I think he would almost rather go back to coin. He had a lot of success with that coin car.
Yeah, but he had...
He also had Craig Hampson. That is true. So, who knows with Foyt. Two names that I thought were interesting. One that actually was in the article was Alex Albon from Red Bull Driver.
Look, man, can you... Anything's possible, okay? And so, you can't sit here and say that'll never happen because you never know. But can you imagine going from F1 Red Bull to Foyt?
I'm not talking about Foyt. This is separate. This is just drivers' names that were... His name was just in... He was linked to Andretti.
Oh, I thought you were linking into
no.
Foyt. I was going to be like...
I'm just talking in general.
Man, that's you talk about
his going from his name was linked to Andretti for a little bit.
The penthouse to the outhouse.
And I think he wants to come over from what it seems like, but
yeah.
I don't know with Andretti now, with it's looking like it's going to be Grosjean and then an Indy Lights guy. So,
yeah.
And then another guy whose name wasn't in the article at all was Kevin Magnussen. So it's looking like we may not get K-Mag next year.
Yeah, he signed that deal with Peugeot or. So, I don't know, man. But, you know, I think he wants to drive Indy cars.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, we'll see how it goes. But, silly season is ramping up.
It is. The first big domino was the...
Harvey.
Was the Harvey. And so, it's the really the key now is, you know, there's a good situation for every other team. But the one super, super unknown is who's going to take over that 60 car. So,
yeah, so we'll have to wait and see. But... and everything's on the up with IndyCar.
Yes, it is.
TV deal, video game, great racing, great tracks. Now we just got to get a few more ovals on there. I think Penske's working on that.
They're definitely working on that, and I think you're going to see some ovals added next year.
So I think, you know, everything's looking good, man. Everything's on the up and up. So, that's going to do it for episode 44.
Yeah, it wraps us up.
Thanks for sticking with us. And we'll be back at you again next week. Fingers crossed.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a Nashville preview. Bless you.
Whew.
We'll definitely have a Nashville preview and wrap up, and then from there
we'll be back to normal.
I mean, they're gung ho. I mean, they're like back to back to back to back, something like that. So,
yeah.
You got Nashville, then you got the GP at the track, and then I believe you've got Gateway.
Then Portland, and then Long Beach.
So
we're about Laguna. Done. And Laguna's in there, too.
Yeah, Laguna, then Long Beach.
Laguna, then Long Beach, yeah.
So,
sorry.
So, anyways, thanks for listening.
As always, thanks for listening.
Keep telling everybody about us. We will see you on the next episode of Around the Outside.
Peace.
An IndyCar podcast.